8 p.m. This is Radio Ghana.
And from our national studios here in Accra and also networking all our regional FM stations together with streaming live on the internet at www.gdcghana.com, we say welcome to Behind the News, where we speak to the newsmakers and experts. My name is Kingsley Obinchere. For tonight, the nation's best farmers prepare for the National Farmers' Day. How has the day improved farming practices in the country? The International Criminal Court is in the dock. Is that court pursuing selective justice? We'll be exploring all these issues. As Behind the News, and as usual, we'll be taking your comments on 026-441-8767. 026-441-8767. And we move on to our first story. Since the Farmers Awards program was instituted, many have benefited from its objectives. The awards, which was put in place after the country emerged from the difficult times of the early 1980s, has served as an encouragement to farmers. However, some small-scale farmers think they have not realized the full benefits of the award scheme because the awards go to very well-organized farms. However, watchers of the sector believe that instituting the day as one for recognition of the efforts of farmers is worth commending. Samuel Apiga is the district director of the Ministry of Food and Agriculture in the Senate District of the Bunanafo region and an expert in livestock farming. How does he assess the progress made so far? He joins us on the line as we look at it. Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
Yes. How has the day really helped farmers?
Yeah, I would say the day has really helped farmers. Since its inception in 1985, we realized that before 1985, a lot of our farmers, even though we had extension offices, were not actually keen in adopting modern technologies in farming. I'll give an example. Most of them were not doing the right spacing, the right fertilization, the right soil and water management, the right supplementary feeding, not providing housing for their livestock, not reporting sick animals to the veterinary services, and so on. But since the inception, as the years go by, a lot of the farmers have realized that if they don't do all these good practices, both in crop and livestock production, they will not benefit from the National Farmers' Day, either national, regional, or district. Because the criteria for a farmer to qualify for an award is very, very strict. You cannot qualify for an award when you don't adopt modern technologies in agriculture, be it livestock, crops, or fisheries. Secondly, you cannot be an award winner if you don't keep records of your farm, be it livestock, crops, or fisheries. And thirdly, you cannot be an award winner if you don't take the environment in which you work into consideration. And I'll give you an example. You cannot be an award winner if you are somebody who doesn't like trees, you fell trees, you cut trees anyhow, you don't plant trees, you don't care for the environment, you plow anyhow, not taking into consideration soil and water management, you burn the bush, or you are somebody who likes burning bush or crop residues after harvest. These practices does not qualify a farmer to be an award winner. So these are a lot of things that farmers have realized that if they don't practice these good practices, and they continue to practice the bad practices, they will not qualify to win an award.
Yeah.
And so as they practice these good practices, they improve upon the production and yield of their crops and livestock.
Yeah. So with your experience so far, Mr. Apiga, have you had some farmers coming to you asking, what do I do to qualify or for my farm to be inspected in preparation for Farmers' Day?
A lot of them come to ask. I'll take, for example, livestock and poultry, which I deal with. A lot of farmers call me personally in my office, or they call me on my phone, saying that they have sheep and goats, they have cattle, and they want to qualify to be the best cattle farmer, or the best small ruminant farmer, or the best pig farmer. What is the criteria for them to qualify? And I tell them a lot of things. That first, housing is very important. And I'll give you an example of a farmer in Senegal. This man is a very serious livestock farmer. He has a lot of cattle, sheep and goats, ducks, fowls, guinea fowls, and the rest. In fact, last year, I wanted him to be the best livestock farmer in my district. But when we went to his house, we realized that he had no housing for these animals. And before you can qualify as a livestock farmer or a poultry farmer, the first criteria is that you must have housing for the animals. So when I realized that he had no housing, I told him that, yes, you have got all the animals, the numbers are great, but you cannot qualify because you have no housing. So this year, for instance, he was forced to build a house. So these are the practices that we insist on that helps to improve both livestock and crop production because of the National Farmers Day.
Yeah. So apart from those...
Even not forgetting about the prices that they get.
Uh-huh.
The fact that it is also helping in livestock and crop production, the fact that the farmers are aware that if they have the certificate signed by the minister or the president of the Republic of Ghana and they take it to the bank, it enhances their ability to collect a loan from the bank. That alone is something that the farmers cherish a lot.
Yeah. So you've spoken about those who approach you. What do you do as someone in charge of the district to reach out to all farmers to let them know that these are the criteria, this is what you need to do so that you can qualify?
Yes, you know, our agri extension agents, we call them AEAs.
Mm-hmm.
We have them in the what we call operational areas or in the communities. So they are educated on the criteria, so they educate the farmers what to do to qualify to be either a district, regional, or national best farmer. Also, we have farmers fora, we have workshops, we have meetings with farmers. And in all these meetings or workshops or fora, we tell the farmers what to do so that they can qualify to win an award at the national, regional, and district level. So most of the farmers are aware and they are practicing it.
Yeah. What difference do we get between a regional award winner and a national award winner?
There's a lot of difference. You know, the national award winners, if we take the first three awards, normally it goes with a house, a pickup, a tractor, and the rest. In fact, I mean, to cut things short, the national awards are much, they have more weight than the regional awards. Just like the regional awards are also a little better than the district awards. But these days, the district awards can be better because they are financed by the district assemblies. If a district assembly is well endowed, a district assembly can even decide to buy a pickup for its district best farmer.
Yeah, but we are talking in terms of the criteria.
Yes.
Not just the prizes.
Yeah, the criteria, that's the criteria that are accumulated.
Uh-huh.
You must do the good practices, you must be a practicing farmer, you must have an idea of environmental awareness, you must keep records, you must do supplementary feeding. And what of it, the addition of it all is that you must be somebody who is also able to extend to other farmers.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you are a cowpea farmer in a district and you have all the technologies to produce cowpea, you should be able to educate other farmers how to produce cowpea.
Yes.
You must be somebody seen to also be an agent in your community.
Yes.
So all these things qualify the farmers to be an award winner.
Yeah, you've spoken about the adoption of modern technologies, and some will still say that in spite of the fact that since the late 1980s, we've had a celebration, not all farmers are adopting modern technologies. Does that mean it is still a challenge for many of them?
Yeah, it's still a challenge, but there has been marked improvement. Like I was saying, before 85, a lot of the farmers were not adopting these practices. But now, a lot of farmers are now adapting improved technologies. You know, we must also admit that the extension officer numbers too are very low now. And so the coverage may not be as we like it. But I mean, a lot of farmers now are adapting modern technologies. Not necessarily because of farmers, but you know, farmers now are taking it as a business because now if you have your produce can fetch you a lot of money so that you can pay your children's school fees and the rest. So they have to adapt modern technology on the part of crops. They know that there are high yielding varieties.
Mm-hmm.
There are varieties that are drought resistant. There are varieties that are flood resistant. So constantly they approach us where to get these varieties to plant so that they can get higher yields. On the part of livestock, a lot of people now know that if they do supplementary feeding, give their animals water and housing, if they are sick, they send them to veterinary for drugs and vaccinations, it can improve upon livestock production.
Mm-hmm.
And so they can get higher incomes. And so these farmers are practicing it. We still have a few farmers who are at the band or what in extension we call them laggards. who will take time to adapt technologies. But eventually, since we are educating them, with time, I think they will adapt these technologies.
Yeah. Mr. Samuapiga, let me push you a little bit into your area, an expert in guinea fowl farming. And you know, these ones are comparable to birds, flying birds. How do you manage to do it very well and even win an award in that area?
Oh, yes. People think that guinea fowls are wild birds, and so you don't need to cater for them. Just leave them and fend for themselves. This is what I'm not saying, that guinea fowls are animals that you can easily also domesticate them, and they can be tamed like we have for commercial poultry, like layers or broilers. You know, you need, when you have guinea fowls, you need to provide them housing. Even though at the present moment, we don't intend to tell farmers that they should, especially the pigeon farmers, that they should keep guinea fowls intensively 24 hours. I recommend that guinea fowls should be kept semi-intensively. That means that there should be housing and there should be a fence area for the guinea fowls to feed on, graze on. You know, they like taking leaves, especially when they are laying, they pick a lot of leaves, and that helps in the color of the yolk. That is why a lot of people prefer guinea fowl eggs, because of the color of the yolk. You know, as they pick the leaves, they have a lot of what we call carotenes that are converted into the yolk. And so, guinea fowls, you can rear guinea fowls and make a lot of money commercially, because people even prefer guinea fowl meat and eggs than the commercial layers, simply because guinea fowls is one of the birds that has less fat content. The maximum fat content you can get from a guinea fowl is 3%.
Yeah.
And this is very good for people who have hypertension and diabetes.
We've heard some concerns.
It's a delicacy in Ghana. It's a delicacy all over the world.
Mr. Figa, sometimes we hear concerns about even poultry farming and the challenges they are experiencing with the Farmers' Day Awards. Do you think it has helped them in any way to improve their situation?
Yeah, the poultry industry is a very peculiar industry. You know, poultry is what we call monogastric. Monogastric means they have one stomach compartment like pigs. Or human beings are also monogastric because we also have one stomach compartment. And we eat a lot of concentrated food than the ruminants, like sheep and goats and cattle. And that means that we also compete, or poultry also compete with human beings for maize, for fish, and the rest. And you know the cost of maize and fish in Ghana, very high. And in fact, a lot of the production cost in poultry production in Ghana is from the feed. 60 to 70% of the production cost in Ghana in poultry is from feed. So that is why our poultry farmers are constantly crying out for support in the poultry industry.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking that if we can also subsidize feed in the poultry industry, it will help boost the poultry industry a lot. Because we have about 1.5 million people depending on the poultry industry in Ghana. That is those who are involved in the production itself. If you look at the subsidiary industries that are involved, like those who make tea, those who make bread, those who use eggs, then we are thinking about 4 million people in Ghana who depend on the poultry industry.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to find ways so that we can find something that we can do to improve upon poultry production. And the number one thing that I think we should do is to look into the feed problem.
Okay.
It's a very big problem facing the poultry industry.
Yeah.
It's a very big problem.
So,
and I'm thinking that instead of us depending on white meat, both for human and for poultry production, then we should look at America, for instance. They have a lot of yellow maize, and we can import a lot of the yellow maize. We can even produce yellow maize here, so that the yellow maize will produce solely for the poultry industry, while we, the human beings, depend on the white maize. Otherwise, if we want all of us, both human beings and the poultry industry, to depend on the white maize, definitely the cost of production will go high.
Yeah.
That's why we need to look into.
Yeah. So how is the Senate district preparing?
There's no country in the world that will depend on small ruminants or cattle for their meat requirements. Because the gestation period of a sheep or a goat is 5 months. The gestation period of a cow is 9 months. That's like a human being. But if you look at a broiler, we can sell a broiler at 6 weeks now. Layers start laying at the age of 20 weeks. So their turnover in terms of protein is higher than depending on the ruminants.
Okay.
So we need to look at the poultry industry in Ghana.
That's fine. But how is your district preparing for this year's celebration?
We are preparing seriously for this year's celebration. This year, the Senate district, we are going to an area called Basa.
Mm-hmm.
The venue will be in an area called Basa, and so we are going to have it there, and we are preparing seriously. We have had the awards there. Thank God the assembly is very kind to us. They are sponsoring everything, including the awards and the entertainment that the farmers are going to enjoy. And so we are very grateful to the Honorable DCE for Senate, Honorable Dominic Napari and his staff for supporting us for this Farmers Day.
Mr. Samuel Apiga, we want to thank you very much for your time this evening.
Thank you very much, and I will use this opportunity to thank all the hardworking and gallant farmers who suffer every day to feed us, and who we must think that they are human beings and we need to reward them every year. Thank you very much.
Thank you. That is the District Director of the Ministry of Food and Agriculture in the Senate District of the Bunno-Ahafo region, and an expert in livestock farming, talking to us. But talking about the DCE, as he mentioned, we have one who is really shouldering all the responsibility for the nation for this particular celebration. He is Martin Luther Obin, the District Chief Executive for Agona East, and he is the Chairman of the Local Organizing Committee. Good evening, sir. Hello, Mr. Martin Luther Obin. I guess we have a little challenge with his line. It's behind the news live on Radio Ghana, and you can get us presently if you are in the central region. You are on Radio Central and you are getting us live there. Quite close to Sekondi Takoradi, you are getting us on Twin City. Volta Star Radio is getting through to you in the Volta region. Radio Upper West and also Ura Radio together with Radio Savannah. It's behind the news and you are live on Ubuntu 96.5 and also Unique 95.7 MHz. We are still trying to reach Mr. Martin Luther Obin, the District Chief Executive for Agona East. Agona Saba is the venue for the celebration this year. But for now, we have joining us Philip Abayori, the President of the National Farmers and Fishermen Award Winners Association of Ghana. Good evening, sir.
Fine evening, thank you.
Yes, we've just listened to Mr. Samuel Apiga talking about all the progress made, yet there are a few challenges. For you, as a farmer, would you say the awards has really, really advanced the cause of farmers?
Yeah, you know, it's like winning a crown, a competition that you do and you win a crown. So definitely, it's a competition that is being set for farmers to be able to compete. And if you look at the first award winner in 1985, his enviable prize was a preset radio, a pair of Wellington boots and a cutlass. Today, the national best farmer takes away a 70,000 three-bedroom house. That is how far we have come. So there have been improvement in the awards.
Yeah. How many awards have you won?
So I have won 3 awards. That's a district award, a regional award, and a national award. And I've also won individual awards, got more than 13 of them.
I see. So, looking at you as a farmer, how did the first award help you to reach out for other awards?
Yeah, I was really surprised. I was there doing my work, trying to produce. And through the agri extension advice that I got, my yields were good. I used good cultural practices. And I was selected as to compete with other farmers within my community. And I won as a district best farmer. In individual crops, I also did crops, and I won on individual crops. Then I competed for the regional award winner. I was there when selection was made, so many farmers, and then I topped them and became the regional best farmer, so as in the national level. So it's a competition. When you improve what you are doing and you do it very well, you can really aspire to higher heights.
Yeah. So we've mentioned agri-extension agents. How did they really assist the process towards your rising through the ladder and getting higher?
See, one of this is that they are trained officers who have the knowledge in various improved cultural practices in agriculture. That is their core business, is to teach farmers to do the right thing by using appropriate methods of production. So, you know, if you adopt what they teach you, the plant population is, in the right direction. You have adequate plant population. You plant according to the rules, the dimensions. You apply your chemical, whatever you do, keep records and etc. Then you are adopting to a new technology, irrespective of just going planting You don't know your plant population, your distance, your rows are not, in line. Your application of inputs are not correct. And you don't heed to advice. You will not be able to be selected because you are not doing whatever is emulating for other people to do and be able to, make some improvement in their life. So this is the difference of what the agri-extension make an input to the life of the farmer.
Over the years, you have come together as an association, grouping those who have won awards. What changes have you seen as improvements over the first National Farmers Day through the process up to this point in time?
What it is that the prices have continued to, increase. And as an association now is that we became an association because we believe that we should just go beyond winning an award for the prestige of it, but also put back the experiences and knowledge that we have gained over the years to help society, not only in our communities, but at the national level. So we do also contribute to policy making and also implementation of various programs on the ground through the Ministry of Food and Agriculture to ensure national food security. Our contribution is so significant to a point that we look for market avenues for our farmers. We seek to assist them with any credit that is available. We also do even go as far as to look for equipment and appropriate technology where we arrange for them to be able to improve their productivity. So our scope of work has gone beyond what we do for ourselves, but to also help our other farmers to come to the level that we are and be more efficient.
Yeah. You are talking about efficiency, and yet the concern is there by some younger farmers and those who have not won awards, that once you get into the limelight, you always receive that attention, and you are the people who get the awards, because for them, land is a problem, credit is still a problem, and all. How do you see these challenges being looked at to help others who are coming up?
Yeah, there is a lot of challenges when it comes to credit in general, whether you're an award winner or not. Every farmer has that challenge, that is access to credit. Secondly, market access, and inadequate standardization, and thereof. And the issue is that we have only 4% of national average credit released to the banks that comes to agriculture. And you realize that if you have 50% of the population into such an industry, only receiving 4% credit, it is inadequate. Coupled with some challenges relating to cost of agro inputs and then also issues relating to post-harvest losses. These are issues that consistently continue to impede on our operations as farmers. But for now, we have continuously advocated government to do all whatever we need to ensure that we are able to make sure that the farmer in the rural community, whether large or small, make a meaningful living. But that has not really come fully to fruition because of the vast nature of agriculture. So the current focus is what we call private-public partnership to partner government or any institution, whether public, to be able to work together. Our contribution will also come whether in knowledge or resources so that we can build up a vibrant agricultural system where we, the agricultural producers, get what we call capacity building.
Mm-hmm.
And in our contributions, we can develop institutions. We can have our own pack houses through our contributions. As I speak to you, we have what we call the Farmers Investment Fund, working with ADB, where we will have farmers contributing to a fund. Once you, the farmer, contribute to that fund through ADB, what we can do is that any time you are looking for credit, the bank will say you don't have a banking relationship, the amount of money you are looking for is not compensated to what deposits you pay. So we can then say, yes, you are a contributor to the Farmers Endowment Fund. You can be given that assistance. And if anything goes wrong, we can intervene to make sure that the bank gets its money. We are also looking at using that to leverage the cost of credit. If the bank is charging 30%, we can negotiate because they have no risk, because we are taking responsibility that should, in case the farmer defaults, will come in.
Okay.
We are happy now we have an agricultural insurance in place through Government of Ghana, Minister of Food and Agriculture, the Minister of Finance, GIZ, the German Environmental and Nuclear Science Ministry, that is now in place, where farmers can avert their risk and get compensation when there is.
We'll come back to you, Mr. Abayiri, on some of the other issues, especially getting younger people to take to agriculture with that level of interest. But for now, we have on the line now Martin Luther, of being the District Chief Executive for Agona East and Chairman of the Local Organizing Committee. Good evening, sir. We lost you earlier. Sincere apologies.
Good evening, sir.
Yes.
How are you, sir?
Fine, thank you. What is happening in the district now?
Well, I must say that by the grace of God, all preparation is 99% complete. What is left for us to do is to raise the presidential days, everything for the opening of exhibition tomorrow, and the main occasion on Friday is ready. My planning committee, in conjunction with the regional and the national planning committee, have put everything in place, pending the launching and the rep program on Friday. So I must say that the chief people of Agona East are ever ready to receive the award winners and ensure a successful Farmers Day celebration where we make our farmers feel special for their contribution towards our national.
So how did the people receive the news that Agnan Sabah is to host the occasion this time around?
Well, initially, people did not believe it. It was just like people asking the question, can anything good come out of Nazareth? But lo and behold, when it was announced, all what people could learn that we're waiting to see. But people have now seen that, yeah, truly, it's happening in Nsaba. Though there have been negative publication about this whole celebration, I think even today in Daily Guide, I mean, they said that the venue have been changed from Nsaba. They were all lies. And everybody knows that when you come to the grounds, you come and see children, schools, children, students from Nsaba Secondary School. We're having a film show about, I think it's a documentary about National Farmers Day and agriculture in general in Ghana. There's visitors at the side fixing up their things. So everybody now believes that, yeah, it has come to be. And everybody says that, yes, it is true that Nsaba can also host the whole Ghana.
So what would you consider to be unique about this year's occasion?
You know, Mas, it's going to be unique because the surprise we're going to give to our farmers today on Friday is that we have been in agri for a very long time, and now all the cry is that we export our things raw. We're going towards agro industry, development of the agro industry. But Agona East has come up with something new, and that is what we have to contribute to our great, and that is going to be the special thing that National Farmers Day will witness. For once, National Farmers Day this year is going to witness a new brand product or a brand new product that comes from our normal palm tree. You know, it has dimensional use of the palm tree. You know, we have this palm wine. But Agona East have been able to come up with a palm wine. We call it the palm fruit. That is a non-alcoholic product that is well packed for export. I remember I met a couple of Ghana's ambassador to Italy and some other country. And we served them. And everybody, wherever they take it to, they cried out that they never thought that a Ghanaian could come up with this idea and put it in such a good brand to be used. So as Agona is our contribution to development in the agro industry and projecting and promotion of farming, agriculture in Ghana, that is a product we have come up with. And it's just going to be all over. And it's being produced in large quantities for both local consumption and export. We are just going to launch that particular product at this Farmers Day. And the farmers are just going to, I must reserve a lot of them for us to see on Friday so that we know that, yes, indeed, Agona East, predominantly farmers, peasant farmers, but we're coming up with something new to come up with to be introduced to our agricultural sector.
Yeah.
You must bear in mind that we have produced an agri minister. So that means that there are a lot of better things that could come out of this place. So on Friday, I hope you'll be here yourself to see or to witness the good things that are going to have to contribute toward the development of agri in Ghana.
Mr. Martin Luther, I want to thank you very much as you continue with your efforts to prepare the place for the national celebration. That is the district chief executive for Agna East and chairman of the local organizing committee for the National Farmers Day. But we still have Mr. Philip Abayori on the line. Mr. Abayori, coming back to you, with all the celebrations so far, the concern is that we have teeming young people on the streets and agriculture seem not to invite them, if we have to put it that way. What do you think is wrong?
What is wrong is that consistently we have government is leading the agricultural sector. So if government don't move, nobody moves. But the reality on the ground is that the farmers in Ghana must be strengthened. The capacity of the farmer must be strengthened to allow us to be able to employ. Secondly, we need to industrialize, add value. Once we are adding value, those youth will have a lot of contributions to make. But primary agriculture, to have 60% of our population in agriculture since independence, is not the best for us, because it means that this 60%, we are still importing a lot whilst this population is into the sector. That calls for the inefficiencies in the sector, and there's a drastic evolution that needs to be made. That is when we expect to see a lot of credit going to the sector, and then also introduction of appropriate technology where these young people could find their place in agriculture. The young people will not want to go to an agricultural system that is having a lot of drudgery, but they will want to see a technical agricultural sector where they can find their place with the knowledge base that they have. And that is what exactly private sector can offer. But that cannot be achieved without financing, medium long-term financing, and that is where the challenge is. So we hope if the financing of agriculture is being addressed, it will open up opportunities for employment avenues and will also allow the young people to be able to get access to credit to enable them also practice serious agriculture. We are looking at not only subsistence agriculture, but agriculture as a business where people could make a full living in the work that they do, and also be able to employ others and also achieve a very good life.
Yeah. I'll come back to you as to how you've tried to engage the relevant authorities to see how they can assist in what you are talking about. But for now, we have joining us on the line Ni Amasana Mwale, the Deputy Minister of Food and Agriculture, in charge of fisheries, and also the Chair of the National Planning Committee. Good evening, sir, and you are welcome to Behind the News.
Good evening.
Yes. From the national level, how has the preparation been so far?
Oh, so far, so good.
Yeah. What has gone into it to make it so good?
Well, everything is in place. Monies were released on time. Those who were given to the champ got it. Everything. You know, as I'm talking to you, I'm on my way to Aguna Saba and to go and inspect the place, and then tomorrow, the exhibition will start. Then, the farmers did kiss off.
Yeah.
As expected.
This is one celebration that receives so much support from the private sector. How would you say it has been this year?
Oh, this year it has been good. It has been good, and we get new people coming into it, new donors coming into it. And they are seeing the prospects in agriculture, and they are seeing how hard our farmers are working. So they are supporting our farmers, and we are happy with it.
So have you had any concerns so far?
So far, my only concern is this evening when Ghana National, the National Farmers and Fishermen Association, where the organizer was complaining that they were not involved in selecting the best farmer. And I was a little bit taken aback because this has not been the practice. The thing is given to academia, the universities, and this let people go around and neutral people, you know, who are very knowledgeable in the field of agriculture, and they go around to select the best farmers and the best fishers. But for this evening, due this to time, and he has raised this concern, I was a little bit taken aback in the sense that their office is just near to our office. And if they have this concern, I think they should have discussed with us for us to see the way forward. Maybe if there is really a foundation, we try to explain it. But for him to, the association to come and say that it is political for choosing this and that there is some politics in it, I was a little bit surprised. Because I don't even know those who have won the award. Yes, it was brought to me in a sealed envelope. But between God and me, I didn't even open the envelope. I only signed that I've received it, and I just called the coordinator and said, take it and go around the certificate. As to who has won or who has not won, I don't know. Maybe the coordinator will know, but I don't know. The people, the selection team that went around, never have they come to say that this is where what we selected and it has been changed. Never. So, for knowledgeable farmer association like Ghana National Association of Farmers Association to come out and start delegating the award winning scheme, you know, it took me a little bit.
So, that means in previous years they've not been involved in the selection?
We are not supposed to be involved.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are going to award you. Why do you have to choose yourself? Because who are we to choose? Who are we to choose to select the best fisher?
Mm-hmm.
Or best crop farmer?
Yeah.
Or best livestock farmer? Who are we to? There are so many areas in agriculture.
Yeah.
So we have to take neutral people who have nothing to do with farming.
Mm-hmm. We have one of the farmers. Will you please hold on quickly for us to inquire from him whether perhaps they would have loved to make an input. Mr. Philip Abairi, that is the concern coming from the Deputy Minister that the National Farmers Association and Fishers Association are expressing concern that they were not allowed to make an input into the choices. Do you share that concern?
Yes, I won awards. Since 1987, farmers have never been part of the selection of awards because we are the people they are going to choose as award winners. And why then should we really be the people to lead the process? So it's good for an independent organization and even not the Minister of Food and Agriculture who chooses the award winners, but rather it's a particular sect of people who have knowledge from the scientific organizations. And then the tertiary institutions who also train experts, they have the pedigree and they really have the knowledge in agricultural base for them to be able to make an assessment as a committee. We have never had such a concern until today, 27 years from now.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really believe that we should be in the business of selecting who should win an award because, like I say, if I have to be the one to select who will win an award personally, I will select my friends and let them win the awards. But that is not what we are looking for. We are looking for an independent system which the ministry cannot interfere, the farmers cannot interfere, a fair system which is in place. And that is a system in place where everybody gets his award in a community, everybody is happy, and nobody has complained in a community that, look, I have got I should have got the award. Yes, if you are a deserving farmer, you can always compete at any time to win. So I think we should avoid trying to bring such issues into the Farmers Award Scheme because we may end up to destroy the fabric of it.
Mm.
It is to award farmers and then also give us that prestige and then also recognition. And if we start thinking that we should be the people to award ourselves, I think it will be misplaced.
So from your interaction with your colleagues, do they all appreciate the criteria being used for the selection?
No one, and I don't know really until I talk to the association brought the issue because we have not discussed it. But I don't think really that it has been an issue that farmers must be involved in the selection process. And if it has now become an issue, then we need to find out how and perhaps approach the authorities to see how relevant it could be. But I think that it is better for us to allow the system to stay the way it is. Deserving farmers will win the awards. Because in a community, if you are given an award and you don't deserve it, the community will not agree. You know that they know you are not a farmer. How can you win the award?
Yeah, okay.
They know you are not up to the expectation. How can you win the award?
Let me quickly go to, yes, the Deputy Minister. So you've heard this farmer representative too on it. Perhaps some who have followed the process are appreciating. So what is your concluding words for us on this occasion?
What is my
concluding words?
Oh, well, I have to thank our gallant farmers because nobody wakes up in the morning and doesn't think of food. People wake up in the morning, they don't think about the farmer, but they think about the food that they're going to get. So I have to congratulate our farmers and our researchers because they have also been researching and nobody thinks about them. You go to the market, get a very big cassava, you call it Banchukwasia Kwasia, and it is so big. And it's because of research, that's why you get it. Selection that has gone into the scientific research that has gone into the food that brings out high yielding varieties and then good quality varieties. So I am using this opportunity to thank all our researchers and then our farmers also for taking up research and then using it in order to feed the country.
Okay.
I believe more, I'm also inviting more Ghanaians to go into farming, commercial farming. That farming that will give you a living, to take care of yourself, buy your car, live like a normal life or above normal life.
Yeah, okay.
There are people who are envious of you, like Philip Abayore, you know, people should be envious of him. Because he's a farmer and he does nothing but farming.
Yeah, okay.
And he uses scientific gadgets that come. You see him using it, even though people see him as a farmer. And, you know, the way he dresses and all this, it gives me some pride that, yes, he's a farmer who takes pride in what he's doing and
okay.
He knows what he's doing.
Ni Amazana Mwali, we want to thank you very much on this occasion, too. That is the Deputy Minister of Food and Agriculture in charge of fisheries and also the chair of the National Organizing Committee for the National Farmers Day. But Mr. Abayori, we are ending with you. Perhaps talking about the young people is important, as you say, trying to bring them in. How are you engaging the relevant authorities to also know about this?
Yeah, we have been engaging the authorities of late. We have serious collaboration with the National Service Secretariat, and we are collaborating with them in many aspects to try and then create a platform so that the young graduates that are attached to them doing the farms, the National Service farms, when they complete their 2-year services, they should be able to get directly into agriculture. And many of them have expressed great interest. So we are working out the modalities so that at the end of the day, they don't come out and then go pick their bags and look for other jobs somewhere whilst they can stay in agriculture, make the best out of it because they have the in-depth knowledge and also have the technical expertise. So this we have started with them. We are also deliberating and working out to get into a youth and agriculture program with the Ministry of Food and Agriculture, which is currently implementing, to have what we call a phase-out system. So at the end of the day, government cannot continue to invest. After some time, the youth need to move on their own, and that is when they are coming into the specs of the private sector to be able to strengthen themselves while government builds the capacity. But now government has started rolling, but then they need to have an exit point so that at the end of the day, it will be sustainable. So we are pushing ourselves to be able to engage properly and then also this partnership so that our youth will have an easy access to learn. Through us, at least, we can also share land with them from the beginning because it's not easy to go through the process. And
yeah.
Those that already have land will also facilitate to whatever technical services we have and then to also give them the knowledge so that they can add to what they have so that they can come into the agricultural sector easily. It's part of a program we are running, and I know getting by the end of next year, we will have good results and can tell you the number of youth we have also put into agriculture for now. You realize that every award winner has not less than 5 or 4 of the youth attached to them, and we are employing a lot of the youth, We are also working with the tertiary institutions and putting placement of the youth who are, I mean, interested in agriculture to work with us while they are in school. So a lot has been going on behind the scenes, but we will make this public very soon for you to see the efforts we have made trying to bring the youth into agriculture.
Okay. Mr. Philip Abayeri, we want to thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so very much. Have a nice night.
That is the president of the National Farmers and Fishermen Award Winners Association of Ghana. It's Behind the News live on Radio Ghana. You are on Radio BR in Sunyain and all our regional FM stations. We are taking a short break. We'll be back. It's Behind the News and you are still live on Radio Ghana. We want to take a quick look at our concluding story and then we can move on with the other things. The International Criminal Court is tasked to bring people who commit atrocities to book. It is no secret that the human rights violations committed by some Western nations can be compared to those committed on the continent of Africa. But some countries that say they believe in human rights have refused to allow even their soldiers to be tried by the ICC. Meanwhile, US soldiers, for instance, have been engaged in activities which dehumanize others on their travels outside. One can mention Iraq, for instance, but the ICC is yet to summon US leaders to account for their misdeeds. That is the concern of many people. But the ICC is quick to make such pronouncements when it concerns Africa. Is the ICC meant only for Africans who commit human rights violations, or perhaps for some Europeans alone? The question is being posed. We want to explore this issue tonight, and we have joining us on the line Dr. Nii Alabi, a foreign relations consultant and also a media consultant. Good evening, sir.
Good evening. How are you?
Fine, thank you. And the question is being posed. Is the ICC meant for a particular continent or a section of a continent?
Thank you very much. Good evening, listeners. It will be erroneous for anybody to sit anywhere to think that the ICC, the International Criminal Court, was set up with the sole objective of discriminatory, you know, practices. That is, turning a blind eye to some of the atrocities perpetuated by certain people and then turn the focus or the searchlight on the others. I do not think that is the rationale behind the establishment of the ICC. In actual fact, it became necessary to set up the ICC because it had become obvious that a lot of brutal activities were taking place in some rogue states, in some other countries, and it was thought that it would be necessary to have adequate sanctions that would bring people to book. And that was why it was set up with the mandate of, in fact, prosecuting such people who are found guilty for crimes such as crime against, you know, humanity, and so on and so forth. So, to the best of my knowledge, and with all the available evidence and records, it was not set up to, you know, undertake what we call discriminatory practices, but really to nip in the bud the crimes, serious crimes against humanity.
Yeah, but you might have heard the concerns that people express that when it relates to elsewhere, we don't see immediate action, but for the continent and even sections of Europe, then quick action is taken. Why is that coming up?
Well, I think some people to overreact to some of these so-called perceptions. I do not think that there is a deliberate attempt by anybody to, as it were, rope in only African or non-European leaders or those responsible for such, you know, heinous crime. But because also of the nature and history of our continent, it seems that such crime against humanity and so on are more prevalent among us, knowing the nature of the dictatorship that is all over the place. And when this happens, people think that, oh, there are worse practices elsewhere, which should also attract similar attention and prosecution. Why not, you know, apply the same rules to such people? I have heard this argument, but I have also been part of this argument. And I remember that the AU, very unfortunately, the African Union Commission, unfortunately, had to support al-Bashir, the Sudanese president, when a warrant was issued against him to be brought before the International Criminal Court for crimes against humanity. Everybody saw that al-Bashir had become a rogue dictator. Al-Bashir had become bloodthirsty. Al-Bashir had undertaken rape, you know, his agents, if we like. His agents had undertaken rape, mass, you know, murders and crimes against humanity. Why the African Union Commission would support, you know, a man as depraved as al-Bashir, it's my imagination. The argument that the whole thing smacks off racism in the case of al-Bashir didn't seem to cut eyes. In the case of Chasila, for example, look at what Chasila did. Would we have allowed such a man to walk, you know, free? But let us also look at the, you know, events that had taken place in Kosovo and other parts of the Balkans. You know, the leaders have been pursued. The latest who have been brought into the net is Mladic. So what are we talking about? The thing is that we should try and ensure that our leaders, you know, practice what is acceptable, you know, norms of governance, and then they should shy away from this brutality, this dictatorship, this blood-suckling activities.
Yeah.
And then I think that less focus would be on them to be brought before criminal justice.
Yeah. Dr. Alabi, perhaps a quick one. Let's look at the Libyan situation presently, where Saif al-Islam is being left to be tried in his own country, whereas Luis Moreno Campo had gone there ostensibly to perhaps try to get him. Why do they leave when, in the end, perhaps, assuming he's found guilty, there are two different sentences?
Yeah, actually, see, sometimes also we should know that the likes of, you know, those in control of the International Criminal Court, the prosecutor especially, you know, exhibits too much sort of zealousness in having certain individuals brought before, you know, justice. In the case of Saif al-Islam, yes, everybody would want to see him go behind the bars, or everybody would want to see him suffer for the crimes he has committed against Libyans. And I think that bringing him before the International Criminal Court is in his own interest. Can you imagine what will happen if Saif al-Islam were to be prosecuted in Libya itself, where feelings and sentiments are still very high against members of the Gaddafi clan and loyalists? You know, I'm sure that no matter what the security system they would put in place to protect him, people would have tried to have a go at him by way of trying to lynch him and so on and settle scores. So, to me, I think that it's not a bad thing to have him brought before the International, you know, Criminal Court.
Well, we'll leave it now for here, but certainly we'll be picking up the matter again and going into other issues. But I want to thank you so much. We got you out of a meeting to be able to speak to us. Thank you very much, Dr. Nia Labi. He's a foreign relations and media consultant. Behind the news, before we go, some of your tests here. Government should train and deploy more agricultural extension agents onto the field. For now, the agent per farmer ratio is on a very low scale. That is Sule Yendi. I go to our gallant farmers. Do our opinion leaders still consider agriculture as the backbone of this nation? Why should they phase out agric in schools? Government should do something about it. Gregory sent that one in from the Mampong campus of UEW. I wish all our gallant farmers a happy Farmers Day. AU Farouk from Tamale Sane and Tanka Obam Sunanso Alavanyo Volta. Let all of us join hands and help our farmers and fishermen to get more yield. The concentration should not be only on farmers. Scholarships should be awarded to fishermen too. And Baba Musa UDS, I echo to all our cherished and gallant Ghanaian farmers in advance for their hard work for Mother Ghana. We are grateful to them for the essential services they provide. And Daniel Opoku Sisi Lie, I hope I got your name right, from Teleku Bukazu. We, the cocoa farmers of Elembele district, could not get even fertilizers to buy. So, Mr. Ahoy, please do something about it. And Cizala, we say I echo to our hardworking farmers and we beg government to pay all teachers the arrears they promised to pay in October. Only few received theirs. And Akoto Razak Tamale, congrats in advance to our hardworking farmers. We wish the best farmer will come from the north. And this one from Salifu Wale Wale, since when have we realized that there is something wrong with our education system in terms of job placement? A question being posed there. And that is where we wrap it up for today. I want to thank so much Isaac Yawedu, sat at the controls for us, and on behalf of our production team of Edmond Tete, Bright Agama, Christopher Siedu, and Ibrahim Atari, my name is Kinsley of Interest.